got a lot tied up inside. Got Jesus on your
Hello,
mind.
This is Diane from This Conversation Rocks.
And hey, I'm Todd in Los Angeles. Welcome back, or we're coming back, or anyway, somebody's back.
This is episode 14, right? Is that what you said on the stuff that you posted last week?
Yes, sports was 12.
The big gay glittery episode was
rainbows was 13.
13, so this is 14.
This is 14.
So we probably need to bring people up to speed again.
Well, yeah. you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, so it's been not the best summer here in rural Alaska. Those who don't know me well probably won't hear it. Those who know me well might. I managed to give myself a brain injury on the 19th of July. So, yeah, this is our first attempt podcasting since I had a traumatic brain injury.
And do you have a picture of the helmet?
No, but you know what? I should take one and post it. It's not
absolutely.
Nearly as dramatic as it should be, but I'm here to tell you, public service announcement from This Conversation Rocks, if you do anything that requires the use of a helmet, please use it. I think the only reason I'm on the right side of the dirt is because when I came off of my horse on July 19th, I happened to be wearing a helmet because I landed directly on my forehead and gave myself a frontal lobe bleed and a subdural hematoma.
And the prognosis for fucking yourself up like that?
Well, you know, I will tell you that I still am having some speech delay. I'm not multitasking very well, but the prognosis is full recovery.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it depends on who you talk to. When I talked to the surgeon, who, by the way, thank God, did not have to do surgery, she says 2 months. When I talk to the speech and language therapist, she says a year.
Okay.
So I'm kind of shooting for somewhere in between.
We're hoping for a quarter and not a year, right?
Right.
Wow.
So let's see. So we've had the house fire. We've now had 3 wildfires in this area, but only one that was really big, and that was right after the house fire. And my head injury. So,
and as an added bonus, both you and Nick are doing some extensive dental work.
Some much delayed dental work. Yes, I had a visit with a new dentist last week. Oh boy, wasn't that fun. I will tell you one thing that's lovely about a head injury is that in this particular circumstance, it seems to have reduced my anxiety.
Well, there you go.
And it seems to have rewired my sleep a little bit, so I'm hoping that sticks.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And personally, bourbon's still working for me. But.
Well, you know me. I don't do anything the easy way. You've known me for a long time.
That's true, and you don't.
But I have to say, I do want to get this out of the way. This is not my horse's fault. My horse's name is Jupiter, for people who don't know. What I tell people is that I took us out of our comfort zone. We were actually out of the class that we were attending and tracking a lost horse. And he just ended up running with another horse that bolted off into the distance and I couldn't stop him. So it really was not his fault. I just basically took us out of an area where we were both comfortable.
And you won't be doing that again.
No, I'm going to be very, very, very careful. And we're getting a new helmet and we're getting a new bit that is going to give us a little more control. So.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
So that's my very, very prolonged story for why I'm not here this time or haven't been here this time.
And just to bring people up to speed, though, you guys are recovering from the house fire. The house is progressing.
The house is progressing nicely. I put a picture on Facebook 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And we are recording approximately 25 feet from Podcast Central, which is the new spare bedroom of two spare bedrooms. But I'm recording from a travel trailer with a MiFi.
With all the amenities that you can imagine.
That, including my poor husband who's sleeping like 2 feet away from me.
He's
but
a good man.
The dude can sleep through anything, thank God.
There you go. And, well, that big thing probably just came through. I'll have to edit that out. Fucking mailbox. Blah, blah, blah. Edit, 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 edit. Okay. So I was going to say, did you want to... I don't think... The last time we actually had recorded, I think funds were still coming in through the donations and everything.
Right.
So I wanted to ask where that all ended up for you.
So it pretty much is where I said last time, which was the big gay glittery episode. So we were just shy of $10,000 in the GoFundMe, which is just amazing. And then we received a whole bunch of donations outside of the GoFundMe as well. So people have just been amazing.
That's awesome. Restores your faith in humanity just a little bit.
Yeah, it sure does. And I will tell people, I'll post pictures of this too. We, in addition to rebuilding the house, are going to be able to rebuild the fencing for the horses and some sort of enclosure for the horses and the hay as well. So
excellent.
And it's three instead of two now. We actually got Nick a horse for his birthday because, you know, apparently a head injury for me just wasn't enough.
For the guy who's got everything.
Yeah. Actually, I think she's super reliable from everything I've heard, so let's hope.
That's good. That's yeah. good. All right, so...
So you're going to school me tonight,
gonna wrap
right?
Diane, we're going to wrap Diane in bubble wrap and not let her out of the house now for a few months.
So but. You know what I've told people? I've told people that we have gone from tragedy to complete ridiculousness. This is just beyond stupid.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I am really ready for 2015 to be over and this streak of luck to be gone.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm going to hold on to 2015 for a few more months. It's money in my bank, so.
That's right. You need to tell people a little bit about why you haven't been very available either, because it's good news.
It is good news. Yeah, my business... it's really kind of had a very positive summer. We've tripled the number of clients we went into the summer with. So it's been a very busy, very chaotic summer.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I've got a bunch of travel probably staring me in the face, doing some contract work for some other organizations. But we're just continuing to run the managed service business locally. And then do consulting wherever it takes us. So.
Very good. Well, I know you have at least one more client in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. And I say, you know, I say managed services locally, but the truth is we do managed services for everybody anywhere. no problem. But yeah, I'm out meeting people locally for that. yeah, you know, it's really... There are these milestones and stuff when you own a business that, you know, I've hit a few of them. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, this is an adult business now, which is not the same as saying it's an adult entertainment business. But, you know, it's like, wow, you know, we're adults.
Because if it were an adult entertainment business, I would be auditioning for a job.
No problem. You know, we'll have to see. Gonna have to do a subsidiary or something.
Well, fortunately, I didn't get hit in the head with a hoof, so there are no scars.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll probably edit this last comment out and stuff, right? But I've always wanted to be doing support for the adult entertainment industry because, like, there's money there, lots of it, you know. And it's just a business.
I think that's super interesting. I mean, I personally wouldn't edit that out just because, I don't know, so many of my heroes over the last several years have been porn stars and trans people and just people with really unusual and outside of the box lifestyles.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, it's just, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not looking to break into the business.
Right.
I'm looking to capture some of that business.
I mean,
because it's an underserved. It's a, you know, historically underserved because people are afraid of it. So
I actually just had a patient in her 60s tell me that she is ready for a rebirth of her sex life and she asked me for advice. So
So female Viagra?
It's real. I'm just saying that you're absolutely right. It's a really untapped market. And there actually is that new medication that just got approved by the FDA for women. But I told her I haven't seen it in practice. I've only seen it in a little bit of writing. So I'm not prescribing it yet. And I'll have to look up the name because I don't have the name handy. But I did tell her, and I would encourage any of our listeners to check this woman out. I highly recommend Joan Price. She's got a book called Naked at Our Age. And she actually really targets the 50 and older crowd. And she is incredible. She's a really great sex advice person, especially for the older crowd.
Excellent.
Yes, we're headed toward the older crowd. Nick is 50. My husband's 50. My God. He is part of her target audience now.
Yeah. Yeah. My 30th class reunion was this summer.
Wow.
Which of course, I didn't attend.
But, yeah, me either.
But, and hey, if actually anybody that I went to high school with is listening, no offense, just wasn't interested in making the trip to Escondido. But it was just weird because it's like 30 years. Holy fuck.
I know.
Where did that go?
And you know, I'm actually, yeah. I've gotten back in touch with some people on Facebook this year, and it's pretty neat to see where some of the people have ended up. Some of the people I know have not changed, so I haven't bothered looking for them.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, because, yeah, it's weird, right? You're getting older. I'm getting older. We all are.
Right.
You know, I was kind of thinking about it. I got a gal working for me down in Texas at one of my clients, right? And I realized today that she hadn't been born yet when I graduated high school.
My medical assistant is the same way. And sometimes I look at her and I test her and ask her if she knows who a band is or if she knows a cultural reference. And sorry, Marc-Ann, usually I'm disappointed.
It just shows that you're not hip anymore.
Right, because my medical assistant is hip. And I'm not joking when I say that. She's actually turned me on to some pretty cool stuff. So.
Yep. So yeah, it was a good summer for me, not so good summer for you. Hoping to continue my streak and end yours.
No kidding. Well, so the other thing that's in the works, in addition to a new helmet for horseback riding, is for the first time ever a helmet for mushing. Because once you've damaged a brain, it's really easy to re-damage it.
Yeah, the NFL, right?
Right, exactly. So I don't want to be another stat. I'm getting a snowboarding helmet to wear when I take my dogs out.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, that's the end of the PSA, and maybe we should move on to tonight's topic.
Which, yeah, we could do that, sorry.
No, it's all good. So you are going to school me about Ted Cruz, because I am so not hip on this guy. I actually did a little bit of prepping yesterday, just because I just haven't followed much in the way of news very closely this summer. Go figure.
Yeah. So, I the thing is, I was kind of looking over some of the stuff about Ted yesterday, too, the last few days and everything. You know, I spent some time on Friday looking at his website to try to get myself ready for this, because I was the one who picked the topic.
Right.
The sad part is he did something a few weeks ago, and I can't even remember what it was. He did something that annoyed the shit out of me.
Well, he's done so many stupid things, it would be difficult to choose.
Right.
I actually did, I found this great website called ontheissues.org, and you can look up any candidate and find out what their stance is on various issues. So I have Ted Cruz pulled up.
Oh, excellent.
We could find out what he has to say.
Does he have anything to say about Mount Denali?
I have not.
Several GOP guys have already said that this is wrong, this is horrible, you know.
I have not heard that. I actually did read an article about that tonight. For those who don't know, we're going to jump the gun and do my oh, by the way, which is President Obama is in Alaska. And I would like to say, welcome. We are probably one of your most challenging states. So,
if I'm correct, he's the first president since Bill Clinton to actually stop and have a meet and greet with you guys.
I know George W. Bush did come to Alaska, but I don't think he actually did any kind of real politicking here. I think we were just a stopover. But Obama's actually spending some time here.
Right, and one of the things Obama did today
was rename Mount McKinley to Denali, which means the Great One, in, I believe, Athabascan, right?
Right, and it is the, you know, it's the original name.
Right.
And, and the funny thing is, right, I mean, I lived in Alaska for just a handful of years. I always knew it as Denali.
Right, most of us call it Denali.
I honestly thought we had changed the name years ago.
Me too. And so apparently, Ohio is losing its shit.
Is it because McKinley is from Ohio?
I think that's the story.
Yeah, or just Ohio just loses their shit from time to time.
Periodically. So one of my friends was basically like, Ohio, get over it and get your own mountain.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
why was it? Was it named after McKinley because he's the one who purchased Alaska?
No, actually, Seward purchased Alaska.
Right, but Seward was only the Secretary of State.
Oh,
for
good point. I don't know who the president. I can't remember who McKinley's Secretary of State was. That might very well be the case.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could Google it.
We could Google it, but since my connection is iffy at best, I'll let you Google it.
Okay.
But I will say that this has been in the works for a long time. And apparently it was introduced initially in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
And political opposition from whoever, whenever.
Stout political opposition.
Man, this is crazy.
I actually saw another post on Facebook today about it that was really funny. A fellow said, is there other important shit happening in the world? Anywhere?
Yeah, exactly, right? All right, who purchased Alaska? Secretary of State William Seward agreed to purchase Alaska from Russia for $7.2 million. Seward's Folly.
I was just going to say we're known as Seward's Folly.
Right, but who was the president?
Well, while you're looking that up, I will say a couple of other things. So President Obama is going to Seward tomorrow, named after William Seward. And I am really hoping that a couple of my friends, hi Travis, hi Sarah, who own a dog mushing business down there, get a presidential visit. I think that would be super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is going to go out and hike on Exit Glacier, and their business is off of Exit Glacier Road. So there's always a possibility.
Okay, Andrew Johnson was president when we bought Alaska.
Ah, okay, so now I really don't know why we named McKinley McKinley, so you're going to have to Google that, too. So although we should be taking Ted Cruz to task, we're actually hitting the oh, by the way.
Which is actually probably a little better. All right, Mount McKinley, Wikipedia. Wikipedia, there we go. Named Mount McKinley from 1917 to 2015.
So somebody's already updated the page. That's funny.
In 1896, a gold prospector named it McKinley as political support for then presidential candidate William McKinley, who became president the following year.
There you go.
The United States formally recognized the name Mount McKinley after President Wilson signed the Mount McKinley National Park Act in 1917. So, you know, so 20 years later.
Right, so basically for 20 years, we didn't really know what to call the mountain.
Well, actually, because of course before that, it was, this is interesting, it was called
Denali.
Bolshaya Gora, which is Russian for big fucking mountain.
I was going to say Bolshaya is big, but I don't know what Gora is. That must be mountain.
Yeah. Which is the Russian translation of Denali. It was briefly called Densmore Mountain in the late 1880s and early 1890s after Frank Densmore, an Alaskan prospector who was the first European to reach the base of the mountain.
Never heard of the guy. I guess that means I didn't pass Alaska history.
Indigenous names for Denali can be found in seven different Alaskan languages. Names fall into two categories, south of the Alaska Range. The mountain is known by names that translate as Big Mountain. To the north of the Alaska Range, the mountain is known by names that are translated as the High One, the Tall One.
Which is where Denali comes from.
Or Big Mountain.
I like Bolshaya Gora. I think I'm going to start calling it that now and see what people say.
Yeah, well, you know, because Yeltsin's going to come get it back anyway.
No, Putin.
Putin, yeah. Yeltsin, man, where the hell am I?
I don't know. Boris, he's long gone. So
no kidding.
Vladimir, he's now our guy.
Boris was gone at the same time. It was the last time I think I spoke Russian.
See, this
ever.
Is good. You're actually asking me to do some good recall, and that's I'm forming new neural pathways as we speak.
Hey, educational ad shit. All right. So anyway, that's the story of Mount Denali, which then became Mount McKinley and is now back to Mount Denali.
Is appropriately Denali again. Yes.
But I guarantee you, if the Republicans win, they will undo that.
Right, because I saw tonight that Donald Trump, who apparently is still leading the Republican field, said that he would avenge himself. He would avenge Mount McKinley and rename it Mount McKinley. I'm not kidding you. I read that on the Huffington Post tonight.
There's no reason. There is absolutely no reason why I would even doubt that statement. I mean, come on.
So
it's Donald.
This might be a little bit of a lead into Ted Cruz, who we're going to pick on eventually. But so I was looking at just the GOP standings, and all of the traditional politicians are tanking. And the people in the order of standings right now are Trump, Ben Carson, who is the neurosurgeon, and your favorite, Carly Fiorina. So all of the professional politicians have, like, no standing in Iowa's straw polls. And those three who are not professional politicians top the polls, which is kind of terrifying.
So here's an article from the Washington... Or no, Jesus. I'm the one who's not with it tonight. The Wall Street Journal. The renaming of Mount McKinley Royals GOP. Republicans question renaming North America's tallest peak and one of the mountains dedicated to the 25th president. One of the few monuments. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Few monuments. God. So, you know, the problem is, man. Here's my whole problem, right? Fucking Dell called me this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Some automated message to tell me that there was a problem with an order that I'd placed yesterday.
Oh my God.
And it's like, dear Dell, I like doing business with you. But look at the area code before you call somebody, just because it's 7 o'clock
in India,
Texas. No, it was Texas, right? Central, but you know, for fuck's sake, guys. Anyway, sorry. Hey, the decision was welcomed by Alaska to rename, but criticized by a number of Republicans.
Of course.
The Republican congressional delegation from Ohio, McKinley's birthplace, erupted.
Of course. Didn't we do an episode about RFRAs in Ohio? Didn't we?
Indiana.
Okay, sorry. Midwest. Got a little confused. Injured.
Indiana's the bathroom.
That's
Indiana's
right.
Indiana's the bathroom state.
So Ohio is the mountain state. Indiana's the bathroom state.
Right.
Okay, good.
See.
I can keep that straight.
And of course, that's the home of John Boehner. Or, I'm sorry, Boehner.
The orange man.
There is a reason President McKinley's name has served atop the highest peak in North America for more than 100 years, and that is because of it is a testament to his great legacy.
Okay, does anybody even remember McKinley other than the fact that he was named for a mountain, or that a mountain was named for him? Gosh, that was lame. We're just batting 1,000 tonight.
He was assassinated, actually.
Yes, he was. Actually, you're right. I do remember that. I don't remember how or why.
Wasn't he shot by, like, you know, a postal worker or something?
Oh, man. Now you're going to have to Google that. I'm keeping my phone on the Ted Cruz page so we can, you know, look at him if we ever have any questions about Ted's stance on, let's say...
Mount McKinley.
No, it's still not updated.
Oh.
But he does oppose churches giving birth control.
Fuck that guy. Just real quick, wrap up this McKinley thing. Boehner continued, McKinley served our country with distinction during the Civil War as a member of the Army, and he led this nation to prosperity and victory in the Spanish-American War as the 25th President of the United States. I am deeply disappointed in this decision.
Yada, yada, yada.
It wasn't like, I mean, the mountain should have been like named Johnson, right?
Right.
After Andrew Johnson.
Or perhaps Seward. After Seward, right. Who made a really good deal. He spent very little on Alaska.
What did he get it for? Like $7 an acre?
No, I think it was like 2 cents an acre.
2 cents an acre?
Yeah, wow. it was a pretty amazing buy.
Yep. And by the way, Russia, yeah, you sold it to us.
So yeah, we're boss. Keeping...
Yeah. Who do you know is teaching you to swear in Russian?
I speak Russian.
I guess I never knew that.
I guess I'm just full of surprises, even when I'm head injured and slurring.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, no, I've known you for 93?
Somewhere around there. We've known each other for a long time.
Long time. Yeah, I had no idea that you knew Russian.
That is so funny. I don't speak it very fluently anymore, but yeah, I used to speak it much more fluently.
See, and if I'd known that... because I actually, you know, the army did send me to school to be a Russian linguist.
We actually probably could have spoken Russian together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could have kept it, because the truth is... I never used it.
Well, and I lost it too. So there you go. But I think we should name this episode Bolshaya Gorya.
Oh, okay. We'll go that way.
Well, we could name it Yab Vos too. That could be the subtitle. We're terrible. Okay, on to Ted Cruz. So what did Ted do that pissed you off? Did you ever figure it out?
I have no idea, man. No fucking idea. It just, you know, I can speculate that it would have been something to do with immigration.
Because, you know, really there have been so many astonishing things that have come out of the Republican field lately. For example, Scott Walker saying on Face the Nation? No, it was Meet the Press, that he did in fact support a fence on the Canadian border.
To which Canada went, it's about goddamn time you stay away from us.
I told one of my Canadian friends, oh my god, I'm terrified of you now.
Yeah, he said that he felt that it was a legitimate issue that deserved deeper discussion.
Yes, because people from New Hampshire had brought it up to him. What's happening in New Hampshire in a few months? Isn't there something kind of critical going on there?
They're the first primary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? And I will kind of get this incorrect, so listeners, feel free to send feedback and correct it
to Brian
as
Williams
much as necessary. But as I understand it, we've had a border treaty with Canada for, you know, 100 years or so, right?
Hell, Canada's been so civil that with the recent fires in Washington State, they have actually allowed people to cross with their livestock into Canada without any paperwork, which is almost unheard of. But, you know, God forbid that we should return the favor.
Exactly, right? But under the Bush administration, we started challenging some of the treaty in court and stuff. Basically, the treaty says, you know, you can't build within X amount of feet on either side of it, right?
Right.
And some conservative homeowners got the along the border, got the Bush administration to go to court and do a whole lot of nonsense and stuff. And right, and it'd be basically disrupting, you know, a treaty that we've had in place with Canada for well over 100 years. And so now I'm not surprised that we're just, fuck Canada, we're going to build a wall.
You know, it was really funny. I don't remember who pointed it out. I honestly can't give the person credit, but they said, you know, think about the money that it would take to build and maintain that. Aren't they the party of small government?
Not anymore. They haven't been. They have, you know, I mean, yeah, because theoretically they should be the, according to the way they were when I was younger, they were small government. Both fiscally and terms, you know, they were much more libertarian.
Right, in terms of social policy.
Right.
It was a little more live and let live in the Republican Party.
And then Reagan happened.
So you are totally going to have to edit my husband snoring out of this episode.
Oh, I was going to say, was that the dog?
No.
All right. So, okay, here we go, right? Ted Cruz, the Houston murder is a manifestation of Obama's assault on police.
Oh, that was what pissed you off?
No, but I've just...
You're just finding something. So let me tell you a little bit about Ted Cruz. I looked him up. He was born on December 22nd, 1970, which makes him a Capricorn, which makes him my age, and I do not claim him. He is actually named Raphael Edward Cruz.
Right, but he doesn't want anybody to know that he's part brown person.
Except he wants the Latino vote, so he talks about it occasionally, kind of. Right. And his dad apparently fought with Castro initially and now is vehemently anti-Castro. Let's see. And he was the first Hispanic senator from the state of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas, what the fuck is going on?
Right. So really, you've had Hispanic people being a majority in Texas for how long? And you send Ted Cruz to the Senate? Not that I can criticize. Alaska's pretty sad, too.
Well, you know, I guarantee you he's not getting his support from the Latino community.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, basically this guy is as anti-immigrant as it gets.
So I found five things you need to know about Ted Cruz at factivists.democrats.org.
And sounds good.
I thought this was a really good one. I'll just pick on a few. So he led a $24 billion government shutdown because he wanted to do away with the Affordable Care Act and then said in his own words it was, quote, absolutely worth it, unquote. So if that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what's going to. $24 billion.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, well, all right.
So I remember those pictures of him and Sarah Palin storming one of the veterans monuments. I think it was the World War II monument.
Yeah.
And it was shut down because of a government shutdown that Ted Cruz and his buddies engineered.
Engineered, yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so here's the thing, right? So I was going over his website on Friday, mm-hmm. and I will go back to that here for a second, right? His thing about the Constitution, he claims that he defended Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties against Obamacare's contraception mandate. I mean, obviously he's opposed to it, but it's like, what were you? Were you the trial lawyer? led the way on several cases, including the U.S. So first of all, he was the Attorney General in Texas for quite a while.
Ooh.
So, you know, he says, led the way on several cases, including the U.S. Supreme Court case that preserved the words under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. And I just want to point out to everybody, if you don't know this, the Pledge of Allegiance is from the 50s, came in during the McCarthy era. So why we feel that we need to keep that around is kind of a little bit beyond me. But if nothing else, it's not like it's been here since the birth of the nation.
Right.
It wasn't like we wrote the Declaration of Independence. And then, you know, a few years later, we wrote the Constitution. And then immediately after that, we wrote the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, this is... Go ahead.
You know, so, I mean, it just... Again, the whole Pledge of Allegiance thing, I don't give a shit. I think it's stupid and archaic. And I personally don't think it has any place in the schools. But whatever. It's also not anything that I think is worth arguing over as much. But I just want people to know, it's only been around since McCarthy.
Well, this is also the man who grossly understands just the whole concept of government and governmental separation in general. I mean, he thinks that senators, and he said this, should be able to vote Supreme Court justices out of office.
Right. Right. Oh.
Separation of church and state. Hello?
That might have been it.
Separation of governmental powers. Hello?
Right. You know, and the thing is, right, it's like you were the attorney general for a state, right?
Right.
It's like, you should kind of know how this shit works.
Yeah, I mean, if you and I know how this shit works, someone who went to Harvard and Princeton probably should know how this shit works.
And I suspect he does, and he just, you know...
He's pandering to his base.
I mean, I think he probably believes a lot of what he says, but, you know, he successfully defended the constitutionality of the Texas Ten Commandments monument.
Good
winning
Lord.
Winning a 5-4 landmark decision before the U.S. Supreme Court, setting an important national precedent for the right to display similar monuments. Except, nobody knows what the fuck that was all about. Again, you know, hey, if somebody out there, maybe somebody from Texas, maybe, can enlighten me as to exactly what that was. Because I did try to go read the case, and I didn't get there very well.
I actually don't remember that. I remember some jacked up judge from Alabama being the one who had the Ten Commandments monument.
Right, yeah, nothing from Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, so here's...
and then, you know, Second Amendment rights. So... You know, again, so here's the thing with the Second Amendment. Like, that is the law of the land, right? You have the right to bear arms.
Sure.
And I'm not here to debate that part of it and everything. But, you know, my God, every time somebody gets fucking shot, why is it that we just continue to double down on, well, we just need more firearms, you know?
I don't even know where to go with that one. I can't even get people to answer whether or not they have their firearms stored safely in their homes so their kids can't shoot themselves.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, one of my relatives, and I won't say which one, but was asked that question, and the response basically was, what kind of government conspiracy is this bullshit?
I routinely get pretty much that response. So now I've started kind of blowing it off by saying, okay, you think I'm here to take your guns. I really don't want your guns. I just want to know that your kid can't shoot himself with it.
Boy, that doesn't seem like, you know, unreasonable to me, but that's okay.
I've actually had people tell me that they don't see how that and healthcare are involved in any way. I'm like, really, you can't see how prevention of a firearm casualty is related to healthcare. Okay.
I know, right?
And I'm not anti-gun. We have guns. I mean, I think you and I have had this conversation before. Who in Alaska doesn't have a gun? You know?
When I lived there, I had them, you know? And when I moved back to civilization, I gave them up.
See, my Alaskan friends would be horrified to hear you say that.
Yeah, but okay, so...
And I don't care. I really don't care.
Rifles don't do you any good in major metropolitan.
Right.
You know, it's the thing, right? When I lived in Alaska, it wasn't as crazy to have a rifle, you know, but totally nuts to have one in Seattle.
And the truth is, and I know that many of my conservative friends are going to hate me for this, but I really think we need better legislation. I'm not talking about taking people's guns away. I'm talking about looking at people like the dude who just shot two people on national television and making sure he can't get a gun. I'm talking about the Aurora movie shooter making sure he couldn't get a gun.
The guy in Houston, the cop that got gunned down in Houston.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, what the hell? So I can tie this back to Ted Cruz. It helps nobody to say, oh my God, this is Obama, right?
Right.
You know, thanks, Obama. I mean, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
You know, you and I have made this point repeatedly, and I'm going to make it again. How far away are we from the Obama administration ending and he still hasn't taken your guns?
Right.
I mean, come on. And Ted Cruz, is that your point? Is that your only point? Is that all you can tell us? Because what you're running on, that's pretty weak.
He also fought and won a landmark ruling for U.S. sovereignty. Against 90 foreign nations and the president to ensure the supremacy of the U.S. legal system against encroachment by international treaties and rulings of the World Court.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I know, I had to go look this up, right? Basically, a Mexican citizen was challenging his death penalty conviction in the United States because he's not a citizen of the U.S. And it got some traction in the lower courts. And
sure, that's interesting. Yeah.
And then got overturned, you know, or upheld, or however you want to look at it, right? Like, I'm pretty sure they actually executed the guy.
Uh-huh.
But just, I love that fucking classic overreach. this was against 90 foreign nations and the president of the United States to make sure the supremacy of the U.S. legal system is not encroached upon by international treaties and rulings of the World Court. Except that's never happened. Because, my God, if it did, you know, some of the people in this country would actually get hauled before The Hague.
Right.
Right or wrong, you know, I'm not really looking to start that argument today, but understand that, like, if we actually recognize the World Court, things would be a little bit different.
I'm thinking of a few people who might be serving a little time.
Dick Cheney, we are talking about you. And then, of course, called for a special prosecutor to investigate the targeting of conservatives by the IRS, which didn't actually really happen. But
I was going to say, was actually misproven because there were liberal groups that were targeted as well.
Right. But everybody will say, oh, but there was more conservative groups. But statistically, there were more conservative groups applying for that fucking tax exemption. You know, like being in the IRS and like trying to determine some of this stuff just must be an absolutely shitty job.
Well, that's okay because Ted wants to do away with the IRS as well as the Department of Education and the National Endowment for the Arts.
Okay, that was what it was. it was the abolishment of the IRS that just fucking infuriated me. Because it's not the IRS that sets the tax law, you ass. They're only authorized to collect the taxes.
So did you know that he also supports a 23% sales tax across the board in the United States?
No, I didn't.
I read that on Sunday and I was like, that is $23 in taxes on every $100 that every citizen in the U.S. spends.
Right.
And it sounds like it's a pretty broad tax. It's not just, oh, we're going to do a luxury tax or an alcohol tax. It sounds like it's pretty much a 23% tax on everything.
Right.
So that little old Republican lady who's on a fixed income when you go to buy your groceries and you're spending an extra $23, you can thank Ted.
Mom. Yeah. Well, no, right? And I mean, the thing is like, you know, you want to talk about economic catastrophe. Hey, that's a great idea, Ted. Let's put 23 cents on the dollar as the tax rate on the sales tax, right? And let's see how many new cars we sell.
Well, not only that, but I mean,
let's see how many, you know, large appliances. Let's see how many houses. Let's see, you know, everything, right? It's like, are you out of your fucking mind?
When you and I look at who that's going to hurt, who's it going to hurt?
Oh, it's going to kill. It's going to kill the poorer class. Right?
Everybody but the 1%.
Right. Yeah. It's going to absolutely devastate everybody up the food chain. Well, like I said, yeah. But the thing is it's not. Yeah. And I mean, yes, the 1% will be okay because they're the 1%.
Right.
You know, presumably. But I mean, the thing is, right? Nobody's going to be buying GM, Ford, Toyota. Nothing, right?
Not if they're paying $23 on every $100 they spend.
Right. Right. You know, because, you know, $30,000 car, you know, you just put another. Yeah.
I can't do that math. It's too complicated.
$6,000, $7,000. You know, $6,000-$7,000 on it, right? I mean, across the board. That's crazy. That is absolutely insane.
So I just have to share something else with you. This is another little factoid that I found out. This is the same guy who says that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
I do remember that. And, excuse me, it's a Ponzi scheme only if you taking money in and not paying it out. That would be what Mr. Ponzi was doing. You know.
Google Bernie Madoff. M-A-D-O-F-F.
Right, right. You know,
right?
Really, they really should rename these to Madoff schemes.
Right.
Because Ponzi was an amateur in comparison. Sorry, where was it going? Right.
We were just picking on Ted Cruz. Because this is the sure. All Ted Cruz sort of edition. Bolshoya Gloria.
The big fucking mountain episode. Sorry. Ponzi scheme, Social Security, right? I mean, the problem is that, again, if you tell the lie long enough about how Social Security is bankrupt, not going to be there, whatever, right? People really start to believe it and stuff. But again, what do the Republicans really want to do? They want to be able to privatize that retirement money.
Right. Thereby losing a significant portion of the retirement money in a stock market crash like we experienced in 2008.
Yeah, and you know, nobody should be in the stock market in their 60s and 70s.
I know,
right?
People who lost significant amounts of money and who lost significant amounts of their retirement in 2008. No one should experience that.
Exactly.
So, and definitely not your mom, who's going to be paying $123 for $100 worth of groceries.
Well, she'll be, in fairness to my mom, she'll be voting for Trump, so That's a whole nother topic. And of course, you know, Ted on life, marriage, and family. Without life, there is no liberty. And ensuring every child is born into a home with a loving family provides the best chance for that child to achieve anything. That is why Ted Cruz has been on the front lines defending life and standing up for marriage when it has come under assault from activist judges. Right. So, including his list of accomplishments, he led the charge on behalf of 13 states to successfully defend before the U.S. Supreme Court a federal law that bans one form of late-term abortions, partial birth abortion act. By the way, is that actually the medical term for it?
No, they're called late-term abortions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be, as you well know, some language that was cooked up by the right wing to scare people.
Yep. Joined 18 states in successfully defending the New Hampshire parental notification law before the U.S. Supreme Court. Not good. Successfully defended in federal court Texas's Rider 8, which prohibits state funds for groups that provide abortions.
So what I'm hearing is a lot of anti-choice, anti-woman legislation.
Right, and of course, you know, fought for the right of states to define marriages without intrusion by unelected federal judges by drafting the State Marriage Defense Act, which, of course, is absolutely ludicrous on its face. And again, not how the Constitution actually works, Ted, but hey, what the fuck?
But that's okay. You only went to Harvard and Princeton.
Authored legislation and a constitutional amendment in the Senate to prevent federal courts from further interfering with any state's constitutionally protected authority to define marriage. Except it's not state's constitutionally protected authority, Ted. That's what the Supreme Court just said.
I was going to say it's definitely not now.
And, you know, by the way, in the, of course, authored legislation and a constitutional amendment in the Senate, it sounds like really kind of impressive, but like, it takes nothing to author legislation.
Right. Aren't we kind of back to that dude from California who was authoring the anti-gay amendment earlier this year? It takes nothing to write that shit down. It takes a lot to get it voted into actual legislation, actual law.
Yep. And, you know, and I'm happy to say, by the way, the state of California trounced that crap.
Yeah, I kind of figured they would. Thank God.
Yep. We were going to talk about it, but then we were off for like 3 months. So.
This is the summer that wasn't.
Right. So, I mean, you know, so that's Ted Cruz's proven record by his own, you know, website.
Well, and again, I just want to promote this website on theissues.org because it really does have pretty complete looks at what people have to say about things. And, you know, for better or for worse, whatever your opinions about things are, I mean, you can find out what Ted Cruz thinks about healthcare, about technology, about abortion, about civil rights. It's a pretty interesting website. It's got some good information. And by the way, this was a really scary thing that I found out. He actually is the lead chair of a subcommittee on commerce, science, and space travel.
Ensuring that we will never do any of it.
Right, because he's a total avowed opponent of NASA.
Yeah.
So just a little hat tip to Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson. This dude is totally working against two of our favorite scientists.
Yeah, so yeah. That's kind of Ted.
Yeah.
Overview of Ted.
I feel like we could probably pick on a lot more details, but there's just, this guy isn't even smart.
No, that's the truth, right? Is that He does not seem to be very intelligent.
My sister actually posted this super funny picture. Did you see it?
I probably saw it, but remind me what it was.
So it's a picture of Ted Cruz speaking, and then next to it is a picture of Robin Williams in drag pretending to be Barbara Streisand. And she said,
"No, I did not."
She said, "You can't unsee it." And you know what? It's frighteningly true. I'll have to post it on the Facebook page. I know I'm going for some low-hanging fruit there, but it was super funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the thing, is that...
low-hanging fruit.
Sorry, I just got sidetracked by, if you wage jihad on America, you sign your death. sure, Ted. Okay.
I have a friend who's constantly posting anti-Muslim stuff on Facebook. He probably does not listen to our podcast. I'm just here to tell you, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because, well, let's face it, your religion is as right or wrong as everybody else's, guys.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Hate to tell you. But that's a whole other episode. So, well, we did hit your, oh, by the way, a little bit earlier with a... presidential renaming of the presidential mountain
and the presidential travel. So again, I hope he hits the mushing business in Seward that I'm supporting. Go ahead. You must have an oh, by the way.
I did. Oh crap. It came back. That's right. I was gonna say, have you been watching the John Oliver show on HBO?
No, I haven't.
Because it's very apparent to me at this point that John has been listening to us.
Really?
Because he seems to follow us on a lot of topics.
Well, maybe we're gonna have to do a shout out to John.
Just the other night, John had a whole bunch of stuff on Riffraz. And I'm like, hey. So
I want to tell you, by the way, that one of my professional colleagues told me today that she has been listening to back episodes of the podcast. She is now on H's for Haters.
Yay.
And she said, you need to get back to podcasting. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's so funny. When I was editing the last ones, I realized just how, at that point in time, how freaking emotionally tired I was.
Yeah.
I could just hear it in everything I said.
Well, for me, this is just working on really honestly being able to carry on a conversation, express emotion in my voice, because that's something that I've really been having difficulty with. And I was not kidding when I told you the other day that just hearing the strains of our opening music made me feel so much better. I was so happy to hear those two episodes, even though I know next to nothing about sports.
You know, the sports issue was episode was fun. I mean, Bob and I have been talking about sports crap for a long time.
Nah, I like Not So Silent Bob. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to... We need to get him on again.
Yes, we do.
You know, maybe the three of us. It'd actually be the two of you and I just throw stuff in from time to time.
Well, you have to give me a little fair warning, though. I have to prep because I'm not quite as quick as I used to be. So I do have a Neil Gaiman quote for us.
Yeah, take us home.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where this is from, but I thought it was really good. But he didn't understand the price. Mortals never do. They only see the prize, their heart's desire, their dreams. But the price of getting what you want is getting what you once wanted.
How true.
I think it must be from Sandman.
Yeah, it sounds like it might have been.
Yeah.
Which, oh, hey, by the way, totally not related to anything other than as you're marking up stuff that you used to have and everything.
Yeah.
You had my entire collection.
No. Oh, you have to send me exactly what I had of yours so that we can get that replaced, because I was horrified to realize that whole box went up in flames.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. So people who are listening, Todd sent me some graphic novels and some novels, several novels by Chuck Palahniuk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Several years ago, and they went up in flames. So you really do need to get me a complete list.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
That would be really good. I'd like to replace that for you.
Yeah, because it was all the Fable stuff. And a copy of The Crow.
Oh.
I remember that.
And I had a copy of The Crow, which I lost, so that's actually two copies. And now we're really digressing. And there's also this beautiful, beautiful Dracula that was done back in probably the mid to late 80s. And a friend of mine just helped me remember the name of that. So I lost that as well. It was gorgeous. I'll have to post the link to that on our Facebook page.
And the other vampire story was Jaqen's Black Kiss.
I don't think I remember that one at all.
Oh.
How embarrassing.
It's all right.
So, anything else we want to wrap up before we go tonight?
No, surprisingly, we are right at an hour.
Are we going to start recording again more regularly?
Well, that would be the plan.
Yay!
As long as you're able to.
Yeah, we'll see. And, you know, we'll see what the fates bring next week.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I don't ask what else could possibly happen because, you know, then it does.
No. It does happen, yeah. All right. Well, hey, so that was good. We made it through.
All right.
I hope our listeners are going to enjoy this one after we edit it, and we will get this one edited pretty quick.
Awesome.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.